Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Zenker. Oh, we're live over here sometime.
March 10th of 06, and Eric's always making sure I get the right date. So
Eric's making sure you got the right date. You can join us on the program. We are the right-wing radicals who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools in violation of the First Amendment is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, if you're in the U.S. Go to extension 136, or if you're outside, 850-479-DINO, extension 136, and we'll take your call. And we defend the position the Bible is true and evolution is stupid. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V-E. And we get calls from Norway to New Zealand. Who's on the phone there now, Robert?
This is William Shelby from Virginia.
William from Virginia. Yes, sir, William. Go ahead.
I want to tell you, I'm a born-again Christian. I love your DVDs, Dr. Hovind, and I consider you a great brother in Christ, and keep up the good work. I have a question, though, today. Something was kind of very disturbing. I actually saw something you referred to in Seminar 5 as chemical trails put off by these planes that go by.
Yes, sir.
And I was a little bit, I was very concerned because I know that they were flying below the jet stream, so they couldn't be making vapor trails with their... You know, with the engines, it definitely wasn't that. But I knew for a fact that it was a different than another jet stream because it, after it went through the air, there were four others like it that went side by side, these planes, and then the clouds kind of furled out. So they were definitely not jet streams. And I was wondering, I read on one of your, as I paused it, I read that one of your sources that it could be possibly radiation, and I was just kind of, or something like that. I was just kind of trying to get some words of encouragement because I'm like a little bit concerned.
You should be extremely concerned. I can't give you any words of encouragement. Go to chemtrails. Just go to Google and type in chemtrails, C-H-E-M-T-R-A-I-L-S. The entire population is being sprayed on a regular basis with chemicals.
Yes, and I saw it. I actually saw it. And
I've seen it several times.
And good. I'm glad that you've seen it too, Dr. Hovind, because I thought I couldn't believe it. It was so amazing because I was like, I just saw your seminar like last week. I was just like on seminar 5, and I just I was just astounded, but also very very alerted to that fact. So I wonder if we could report this to the EPA or something, or something could anything be done.
I don't. I'm sure a lot of things have been done. I think it is happening at a much higher level, and I don't know that it would go anywhere. Try it. Call your senators. Hey, what's going on?
That's what I want to do. I want to call the airport too and see what's going on too. But I appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Hovind. Appreciate that.
You're sure welcome. The stuff they're spraying is has all kinds of theories about it. But just go to Google and type in chemtrails and read on it, and you'll say, man, we should be concerned. They are trying to kill us.
they really are.
They really are. Yes, sir.
I know.
And they're going to do it.
By the way, I just want to tell you that I'm on the B-17. I like those apricot seeds. I order them over the internet, and I like that. They taste pretty good to me. I take maybe about one a week or something like that. So
yeah, they say you need about seven a day, I guess, to average person does.
Oh, I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're not bad. I like them. I mean, they're not good. I wouldn't, call them good, but they're not.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But thanks a lot. I appreciate that, brother. You've been an encouragement.
Thank you. Sounds great. Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right, folks. And the B-17 he's referring to is what a lot of people use in apricot seeds to treat cancer or do something to cancer. It seems to kill the cancer cells. And there's several good websites on our website, drdino.com. They're linked on there. You can go to drdino.com, our website, and go to the links page and see stuff on the Bible and health. There's an awful lot of good stuff linked from there. Okay, and you can join us on the program. Our one lonely phone line is open, and we are working to get another one.
Yeah, get some more lines in here.
Get some more lines in here.
Did you hear the good news this morning? Remember yesterday's program, we looked out the window, we saw Christine, and you said she was getting ready to pop?
Yes, she's very, very pregnant, like 10 months pregnant or something like
that. Well, she was in labor today.
Okay, and she had the baby?
She did.
A girl, another girl. John's got two girls and a boy now.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Have 5 men or 10. That's what I recommend. But you got 9 in your family.
Yeah.
That's did you enjoy growing up in a large family?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Always something going on in the house.
Always something to do. Yeah, never bored.
Mm-hmm.
Never bored. You know, think about being bored. What's bored? Yep. That's awesome. You always got a friend, you know, brother or sister. If you get mad at one, pick another
one. That's right.
Amen. All right. Join us on the program, folks. 877-479-DINO. If you're concerned about chemtrails, go to chemtrails on the internet and read it for yourself. If you're not concerned, you should be. You have your head in the sand. I had a pastor told me I could not speak at his church because I mentioned the chemtrails. Well, pastor, you need to study it out. You're going to be accountable to your flock, okay? And, man, you're going to be accountable to God for protecting your flock. Okay. So, preach the whole counsel of God. Here we go. Instant messages at AOL Instant Message, which is a free download. If you don't have that, go to AOL.com and download all their whatever you do to become an AOL user. And then it's free. And, of course, they're going to try to advertise stuff to you, and that's how they make their money. That's fine. Okay. And you can instant message us at AOL Instant Message, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Here's one from BGTM911, who says, have you guys seen the stegosaur that Dr. Patton has found? I was with Dr. Patton a couple of weeks ago. Should be airing those here anytime. It's the first time I'd actually met Don Patton. I had read his books, loved it, and talked to him on the phone a couple times. But yes, I don't know that he's the one who found it. I think it was Dr. Dennis Swift of Beaverton, Oregon, who did most of the research. I'm not sure who gets the credit for it. It doesn't matter. The guys were both over there together, but Dennis Swift led the expedition, is my understanding, to go spot this. What they did, they went to an old temple that was built in 1150 A.D. By the Khmer regime, and then abandoned about 1400. Apparently a disease came through and wiped out the whole tribe or something. Nobody knows. At least I don't know. But I don't think anybody knows for sure what happened. But the whole thing, the temple system was abandoned in the 1400s. Either they all died or got captured by somebody else or who knows, lost interest. But these temples are, there's a lot of them in Cambodia like that, and they're overgrown with jungle and everything else. And this one particular temple has carvings, you know, about 18-inch diameter. One of them is a stegosaurus. I mean, just as big as Dallas and all Fort Worth, you know, it's right there. Why would they put a stegosaur on their temple in 1150 A.D.? Duh. They saw one. And we can cover that, dinosaurs living with man, on videotape number 3. All right, who's on the phone there, Robert?
Matt from Kansas.
Matt from Kansas. Hey, I'm coming to Nebraska tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Going to be close.
Yes. How are you?
Hey, getting old, but I'm going to make it.
Great. I just received 5 of your DVDs.
Okay.
And they're awesome. They've really cleared a lot of stuff up for me.
Awesome. Hey, Matt, we're going into break right now. Can you hang on 2 minutes?
Yes.
All right. We'll be back in 2 minutes and take your questions or comments. Thanks
okay.
a lot. All right. Bye-bye. Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live in Pensacola, Florida.
March 10th.
Yeah. Okay, man. The year is going by quick. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory, excuse me, being taught in our schools, is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can call us 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. And I got to get rid of this cough, Robert. I'm gonna actually, you're going to fix the cayenne.
I will.
And I'm going to actually try it.
It's not that bad.
I don't even eat black pepper on my food. I don't like any kind of pepper. Never have. So you want me to eat cayenne.
Yes, sir. You'll
my nose is going to run for 3 days, and my eyes are going to fall out, and my ears are going to bleed, right?
I've seen a herb doctor throw it into his eyes one time because people were so scared of cayenne. He just demonstrated it, and his eyes cleared up, watered a little bit, but it's harmless.
Okay. We'll give it a try. All right. Matt's on the phone still, right?
Yes, Matt from
Virginia.
Oh, you got
to push all the buttons here. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Doctor, do you have time for 3 questions? Or
sure.
Should I? You do?
As long as you do it one at a time.
Okay. My first question is, this movie is fresh in my mind, but my question was, after the animals were let off of the ark, how did they get where they are now? For example, the kangaroos in Australia and jaguars in South America.
Sure. That is covered very clear detail on video number 6.
Oh, the only one I don't have.
Oh, okay. About the flood. It deals with the flood. What caused the flood? What happened? After the flood was over, and Noah got off the ark, the ice caps were gigantic. They were all the way down to Kansas City, Missouri. There was an ice age, which lasted several hundred years. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So if you freeze all that water and stick it on the North and South Pole, you're going to lower the ocean level.
Oh.
So the ocean levels, if they were lowered 100 or 200 feet, you know, and they average 12,000 feet deep, take 200 feet of water out of the oceans. Just look at any map of the world that shows the continental shelf or shows the ocean depth.
That makes sense.
For instance, between Australia and Vietnam, the water is about 30 feet deep.
Yeah.
Between Russia and Alaska, it's about 60 feet deep. Between England and France, the English Channel, 100 to 150 feet deep.
That makes sense.
That's from here to the street, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, I cover that in video 6.
Okay.
Second question.
The second question is about the sons of it's about the sons of God, and you mentioned that in one of your videos, and it got me to studying the Bible. But it's also, I've got some really weird questions because it says the sons of God, this is Genesis 6, 1 through 4, came to the daughters of men and they had children, mm-hmm. which became mighty men. What does that really mean? Does it mean what I think it does?
There are four different theories about that, and I cover that on video 7.
That's another one I don't have.
Okay, seminar is 18 hours long. We try to hit everything. We kick every dog and chase every rabbit, as many as we can find, okay?
Okay.
But the title of that question, it's a video number 7, especially the new one, which just came out. I think, ask Pavel if video 7 is in-house yet, the new one, would you, Joseph? Who are the Nephilim? That's answered on the old series, too, the 2005 edition. Okay. There are several theories about what this means. The word Nephilim is what the Hebrew word translated giants in that passage, okay?
Okay.
One theory says that these Nephilim are the sons of God, that the fallen angels that followed Satan, and they intermarried with the daughters of men and produced an unusual, you know, bunch of children.
Uh-huh.
It says they were mighty men, which were men of old, which were of renown. In other words, everybody knew about them. They would have to be doing something unusual for everybody to know about them. You know,
right.
And there are several theories. One theory is that angels cannot marry in heaven, but they were allowed to marry, to take on a physical body on earth.
Oh.
That's just, I don't know that that's true, but that's just one theory, okay?
Right, right.
And then these offspring would be half, actually the fallen angels would be considered demons.
Yeah.
So the offspring would be half demon, half human. And they all drowned in the flood, because this all happened before the flood took place.
Right.
However, Noah's kids would have known about these guys, since they were men of renown. And after the flood, Noah's kids would tell the story to their kids and grandkids, you know.
Right.
And so these legends would be passed on, and that's why we have the stories of Zeus and Thor and, you know, the Greek gods and Babylonian gods and Mount Olympus and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Probably stretched versions of the original true story. If that makes sense.
It really does, and it really clears a lot of stuff. It really, believe me, it really does. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to get to my other question, but yeah, it clears some stuff up for me.
Well, now, the second theory is that the sons of God are actually the line of Seth marrying the line of Cain, Adam's two sons that are named. He had a lot of other sons and daughters, but only two are named. You know, Cain, Abel, and Seth. Abel died reluctantly. I don't think there's any. I don't buy that theory because there's no evidence that Seth's children were godly. They all drowned in the flood too.
Right.
Even Noah's brothers drowned in the flood. And unsaved people and saved people produce offspring all the time, and it doesn't make them gigantic. You know,
they're
just normal kids like everybody else.
Right.
Some people think that a couple of other passages tie into this, and I don't know. I kind of don't think that they do, but. Some people think 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, ties in.
Okay.
And Jude, verse number 6.
Okay.
Jude only has one chapter. So Jude 6, 1 Peter 3, 19. If they tie in, I don't know. Maybe they do. I can't figure it out. I don't think there's enough scripture. There's not enough scripture to be dogmatic, which means either we don't need to know.
Right.
We can't handle the knowledge. Or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Why waste your time on stuff? You know, people... There's 31,000 verses in the Bible, and they get all busy speculating about one or two. Man, forget it. Go read the rest of them, you know?
Well, actually, it may tie into my last question.
Okay.
I got it written down here. And it's quite disturbing to me, especially since some of my family claimed to have seen some unusual things. But I was going to ask you, what is your opinion about all this UFO stuff that, and, you know, things like crop circles and that's happening all across the world at such a phenomenal rate? And, of course, I realize there is a spiritual realm with angels and demons, but it just seems like people would love to prove that there's aliens. Then they could say they came from something else, and then they wouldn't have to believe in God again.
Right, and we cover aliens on video number 7. UFOs and all that kind of stuff, the several different theories about that. You know, what on earth are these things? Let me get to that one. Okay. UFOs. I tell people I have 7,000 slides in my PowerPoint, so it really helps if you ask the questions in the right order, because I already have the answer. let's see. There's several good books that we sell on UFOs on our website. Go to drdino.com. One is called UFO End Time Delusion. That's a good one. This is from a Christian perspective.
Okay? Right.
There's one, it's not on our website, but go to khouse.org. Just the letter K in the word house. It's called Alien Encounters. That's by Chuck Missler. It's excellent about UFOs. I asked Dr. Missler, who's one of the smartest men I know on the planet. He's up in Idaho. I've spoken at many conferences where he's been a guest speaker also. I said, Dr. Missler, what happened at Area 51? You know, Roswell. Uh-huh. I've been there a couple times. Roswell, been to the UFO Museum and stuff like that. He said, well, Brother Hovind, nobody knows, nobody who knows is talking. But exactly 9 months later, Al Gore was born. That is a fact. That's a fact, by the way. You can quote me on that. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Another one you might want to check out is Millennium, M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-I-U-M, Millennium-Arc.net.
Okay.
That is Stan Deo has an excellent book called The Cosmic Conspiracy, which deals with the UFO question. You know, what are they? What are they doing here? You know, there are basically several theories about UFOs, and I'll give you the theories.
Okay.
One theory is they're misidentified natural objects. You know, somebody really saw a weather balloon, swamp gas, you know, too much vodka, whatever. Okay?
Yeah.
Second theory says they're top secret government craft. And certainly they've been around airplanes for quite a while. Hitler had one, you know.
Right.
Third theory says they're satanic or demonic, that either satanic manifestations of some kind or you know, Satan being able to only be one place at a time has to have some means of rapid transportation, and he drives a UFO. I don't know if I buy that or not, but there are a lot of folks who do.
Yeah. I mean...
Okay, and the fourth theory is that they're alien life from other planets. I don't buy that one either because the Bible says pretty clearly that Eve is the mother of all living.
Right.
So,
I don't buy that one either.
No, but that's what those are basically, as far as I'm aware of, all theories fit into, you know, one of those categories.
Okay, that's great. Can I ask you one more real quick?
Sure, you just did.
Oh, okay. Yes, I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
It actually went along with my first one, but I didn't want to. It says, Genesis 10:25 says, unto Eber were born two sons. One was...
Yeah, hang on. We got another break. Hang on. We'll get that one right after the break, okay?
Okay.
But that's on video 6, the answer to that one. We'll be back, folks, in just a minute.
I'm going to be getting those videos.
Okay. We'll be back in just a minute. Right,
all right.
Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live in Pensacola, Florida. This is sometime March.
It's the 10th.
10th.
Friday, March.
I might as well just memorize that, you know. It doesn't matter after a while. Anyway, you can call us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live, or you can email us. Go to the website, Dr. Dino, and click some buttons. I don't know what you do, and then email it. Or mail it to us, or come by and nail it on the door. Just hand it to us. We'll answer questions. Okay, and we
That's
have,
it.
Is it
Matt from Kansas?
Matt from Kansas on the phone. Yes, sir. You're asking about Peleg.
Yes, sir.
Genesis 10:25. If you read Genesis chapter 10, I mean, I hate to say this, it's God's word, but that's a boring chapter.
Yes.
Okay, all them long names that nobody can pronounce except Alexander Scorby, okay? But as you read through this, it says, unto Eber were born two sons. One guy was named Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. Well, how come it names everybody else in there and doesn't say a thing about them? And now all of a sudden it says, in his days was the earth divided. And then it says his brother's name was Joktan. Well, nobody else gets their brother mentioned. So who's this? Anyway, Well, the word peleg in Hebrew means divided, and the word joktan means shorten. Okay?
Okay.
If you look at the graph, if you get my seminar notebook, which comes with a set of my tapes, the last page folds out to be a chart. And it shows how long they lived before the flood and after the flood based on all the Bible dates, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, Peleg was born 100 years after the flood. If you go back and you read about the guys before him, his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, I want to write these numbers down, okay?
Okay.
Noah lived to be 950. Shem, his son, lived to be 600. The next guy lived to be 438. Next guy, 433. Next guy, 464. Next guy is Peleg. 239.
Uh-oh.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, there are several theories of what happened, okay? What happened in the days of Peleg, okay? The first theory says the languages and nations were divided at the Tower of Babel. That would have been about the right time. See, Noah had all kinds of, he had three kids and all kinds of grandkids. And so the Peleg is in one of the lines of his grandkids. But the Babel, you know, Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, that was in a different line and no dates are given.
Okay.
So I don't think you can tell exactly when the Tower of Babel was from the story in Genesis 10 and 11, chapter 11. But it must have been about the same time just based on the number of generations that it was. Okay.
Okay.
So some people think what happened in the days of Peleg was the languages were divided, people spread out and started intermarrying their own, you know, small group of people who spoke their language. And that may have caused a shortening of the lifespans, genetic problems.
Right.
I don't know. The second theory says the continents moved and split apart. I do not buy that one, because if you move a continent a couple of feet, you're going to kill everybody on the planet. You're going to make an earthquake. You think the tsunami in Indonesia was bad.
Right.
Move a whole continent and watch what happens, you know.
See, and that's what I was taught. That's what I was always taught, but I
don't think that's possible.
Right.
Okay, the third theory says the water came up from the ice melting a few hundred years after the flood when Peleg was born. See, Peleg's born 100 years after the flood.
Okay.
So 100 years later, the ice caps would have melted to where now they came up far enough to divide the continents.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Well, they used to be connected. Yeah, I'm here. You, can you hear us okay?
Okay, there.
Yeah. That's one theory, that the ice was melting, and what used to be, you know, all one continent, now, you know, the islands, or they became separate, you know, because the land bridges were covered.
Oh, that seems very interesting.
Well, the fourth theory says,
okay,
during the days of Peleg, the land was surveyed to avoid disputes. I mean, if you think about it, as the population grows, at some point, you're going to have to start drawing a few lines and say, look, George, this is my side, and that's your side. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Start putting up boundaries. You imagine the whole world after the flood is going to be, you know, totally devastated, and they get off the ark, and they own the whole thing.
Right.
But what about after there's a few thousand people? You know, now you're going to start having arguments, that's my pear tree, no, that's mine, you know?
Right.
So you draw lines, and the whole world today is pretty well divided up with lines. You got to go down to the courthouse and register exactly where the line is, you know?
Right.
Surveyors and all that. If you get the book of Jasher, which is available from our website, drdino.com, it's about $10. Very interesting book, okay?
Okay. It's
referred to in Joshua and in 2 Samuel. The book of Jasher is referred to. Now, I don't know that what we have is actually the same book that's referred to in the Bible. I just always promote it and say it's very interesting reading. Is it actual scripture? No. Is it from the same time frame? Probably. Unless it's a forgery, okay? And I don't know that either.
Right.
But here's what it says in the book of Jasher, chapter 7.
Okay.
These are the generations of Shem, that's Noah's son. Shem begat Arphaxad, and Arphaxad begat Shelach, and Shelach begat Eber. And to Eber were born two children. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days the sons of men were divided, and in the latter days the earth was divided. And the name of the second was Joktan, meaning that in his day, the lives of the sons of men were diminished and lessened, or shortened.
Okay.
Interesting. There's also another old book called the Book of Jubilees.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's legitimate either. It's just an interesting old book, okay? Probably a couple thousand years old. But it says, in the sixth year thereof, she bore him a son, and he called his name Phalak. For in his days, when he was born, the children of Noah began to divide the earth among themselves. And on this account, he is called his name Phalak, and they divided the earth among themselves in wickedness and told it to Noah. So apparently they're saying they're dividing the earth up between themselves, right, saying, hey, this is mine, that's yours.
Right.
I don't know any way to be dogmatic because the Bible simply isn't clear on what it means. But those are the theories, okay?
Right. I feel good because I don't think it was the continents anymore.
I don't think that's possible.
Right. I don't either now. But, you know, I never thought about it right. You've helped me think about a lot of things right.
Well, good.
And, you know, those questions I had, they haunt you sometimes when you can't figure them out, but you made it pretty simple.
Okay, well, sounds good. Call me anytime.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, get that phone hung up, Robert. And anybody else can call in, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. 877-479-3466, extension 136. I don't know how we ended up with all the 36s in there, but that's just the way it is. Tough. I taught math, and I noticed those things. Okay, you can join us, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, and I'm taking those right now. Here we go. See, Stegosaur, we mentioned that one. Here's one from Jazz Base. Hello, I'm an economics student from London, a Christian, but have been debating with science majors over evolution and have found it hard to debate the Lucy question of human and ape connection. As I don't have much info about it, can you help me? I know God is working and he is going to save them. Okay, here's what I would point out with Lucy. First of all, when you find bones in the dirt, all you know is it died. You could not prove it had any kids. So, from a strictly legal, philosophical, and logical perspective, absolutely no fossils count as evidence of evolution. You find bones in the dirt, even if you found bones that were exactly half man and half monkey, that still would not prove it's an intermediate. You might have just found an extinct dead-end line, and lots of animals apparently have gone extinct. So, it was totally ludicrous to say that any fossils could count as evidence for evolution. That's the big picture. Now, if you focus in on just one, like Lucy, Donald Johansson found Lucy in 1974, Hadar Valley, Ethiopia. Johansson had gone there to Ethiopia with grant money, specifically instructed, find a missing link, or you don't get any more grant money. Your grant expires, and if you don't find something, you're fired, okay? So the guy's highly motivated to find something to continue the flow of income. I mean, in a court of law, that would obviously be brought up and be labeled as suspect, okay? As an ulterior motive. Lucy, what he found was 40% of a skeleton. If it had been put together properly and assembled and alive, fleshed out, the creature would have been about 3 feet tall. It is quite obviously a chimpanzee-type animal, okay? National Geographic ran a picture with a label saying this is Lucy's knee. Actually, the one that they had labeled Lucy's knee was found 1.5 miles away from the original Lucy skeleton and 200 feet deeper in a totally different layer of rock strata. This is not Lucy's knee, okay? If it is, I want to know how fast the train was going that hit that chimpanzee. It's not Lucy's knee. But there's a website, omniology.com, Omni, M-O-M-N-I, ology, O-L-O-G-Y, Omni means everything, the study of everything. Omniology.com has a whole lot of stuff on Lucy and other cavemen. There's another great website with stuff on Lucy from the Creation Science Association of Mid-America from Kansas City. That is C-S-A-M-A, C-S-A-M-A.org. They have a ton of stuff on Lucy. If you want to get more detailed stuff on there. The arguments that Johansson put forth to try to say Lucy was becoming a human were pretty ludicrous, I think. He said, well, the knee joint, the femur has an angle going off to the side. And he points out that an ape has a straight leg. Lower and upper leg bones are in a straight line. And a human has a lower leg goes up to your knee and then angles out to the side to your hips. And so the human has an angled knee, and Lucy had an angled knee. I say, okay, first place, you need to understand, any monkey that climbs trees has an angled femur. You saw that in seminar, right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Angled femur means it's a tree-climbing monkey. That's all. It doesn't prove it's becoming a human. And again, no fossils are going to count of anything, for anything as far as proof of anything changing to a different kind of animal. His other argument was the bones are slightly bigger than a regular ape. I would agree. I say, so what? The bones of a Clydesdale are slightly bigger than a regular horse. That does not prove it is evolving into a truck. So I think the whole case for Lucy is ludicrous. It is not a missing link. It's nothing but a chimpanzee, and there might even be some still alive. There certainly have been creatures similar to that seen in Sumatra, over near Vietnam and Southeast Asia. So I would say, I would really reserve judgment and say, no, I think Lucy's nothing but a chimpanzee. All right? Any other questions there, Robert? I got a whole stack of them here, but I'm trying to multitask, and I got two things going through my head at the same time. What do you got over there? Okay. Good. Let's see. Backup one, cut and paste. Every time I go through my seminar, I find things that I want to fix, you know? Let's see. Control X. Oh, that cuts it out. Got it. Okay. Control V. All right. We're done. Okay, you can get your questions in here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. And let me get to the rest of those here. So I would say Lucy is not a missing link. It's an unusual chimpanzee, if it's even unusual. There may be some still alive. But if you want to get more on that, give me a call to the program here. There's another good book on so-called missing links. It's Marvin Lubinow has written a book called Bones of Contention. Ooh, excellent book. Bones of Contention deals with all of the so-called missing links, and not just Lucy, but all the rest of them too. Okay, and that's available. It's about $12 on my website, drdino.com. Okay, JTLBB2 writes in, Dr. Oven, what is your opinion about demon possession? Do you think it is just cases of mental illness? Do you believe it still happens today in the same sense that it did in biblical times? Also about B17, can it be found in similar fruits to apricots such as peaches or nectarines? One at a time. Demon possession. I don't know of any scripture that would indicate anything has changed. Do you get into that much, Robert? All your studies, demon possession.
I would imagine that it could still happen, but like you said, I wouldn't know any scriptures that said anything changed either.
I don't know that I've ever met anybody who was demon-possessed. I had one experience when I was assistant pastor at a church up in Illinois where we had a guy come. The pastor asked if I would come meet with him because he wanted to counsel with this guy who used to be, his wife, he was a member of the church years ago, and he was an alcoholic or something. And he asked if I'd come to the church one night about 9 o'clock because he was kind of concerned about this guy. And the guy had asked if he could talk to a pastor for counseling. So he said, Brother Hovind, would you come with me? I said, sure. Well, there was, I don't know, just an eerie feeling. And I don't go much on feelings, I think, you know, go on facts. But
right.
And, you know, maybe it was the alcohol or the drugs or whatever. But he just had that demon-possessed look about him and act about him, okay? And I don't know. If I ever met one, that was probably it, but I couldn't prove I ever met one.
Ray Comfort says he's run into a couple of them.
Does he really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, go to livingwaters.com. That's Ray Comfort's website, livingwaters.com, and ask him to tell you about it. I've had many people tell me about experiences as missionaries in foreign countries, you know, where they apparently happens a lot still, you know, the witch doctors in, you know, Papua New Guinea and some of these jungle areas. Does it happen in Pensacola, Florida? I don't know. You might ask the police that question. They might tell you, oh, yeah, we meet them all the time. You know, I don't know. So does it happen today? Like I said, I don't know of any scripture that would say it's changed. So I'm going to give that a definite probably. Probably still happens. Now, as far as mental illness, I do think most mental illness, I'm going to say most, is a result of lack of nutrition. You get into that? Vitamin B's and some of the...
Yeah. Actually, my mom went through bipolar, and I've tried to get her to change her diet for a long time, but it seems like more of the meds she took, the worse it got. They just deal with the symptoms. It's like back then they used to give lobotomies. They take an ice pick, stick it up through your eye, and twirl it around in the front part of your brain, and that was their approach to taking care of the problem. So you just
scramble your brain.
Scramble your brain, and no one has to deal with them anymore, rather than getting to...
People live through that?
People live through it. And actually, they had the problem of it rebuilding, and then they have to do it again. But now they use things like Prozac. And Prozac is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It means it blocks the serotonin. And let's see. How to... There's a couple books on it. But this doctor talks about how he's seen patients come in after taking a couple of doses of the Prozac, and they're just zombies.
You know, an awful lot of the school shootings in the last 20 years, the kids have been on Prozac.
Right.
I don't know about all of them, but I'd say the majority.
Mm-hmm. Just makes it where you don't care. I've heard of a lady killed her two kids. She was on Prozac and stabbed herself like 40 times with a knife.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. So, mental illness. I think most of the mental illness cases are a lack of proper nutrition and vitamins. Your body's nervous system, all the nerves have a coating called the myelin sheath, which has to be nourished like everything else in your body. You got to have the right vitamins, minerals, nutrients, etc. And there's a substance called IP6. IP6 is found in the brown coating of rice, which they nearly always take off, polished white rice, because right. It lasts longer. It stays in the bag for months. Doesn't rot. Remember, love of money, root of all evil, okay?
That's it.
That's exactly where it all goes to. We don't want this stuff to rot. We don't care if the people die, but we're going to sell it to them 3 months from now. So the rice bran, it's called, contains all kinds of interesting nutrients, one of which is IP6. It appears that that is one of the substances that remyelinates the nerve sheath, rebuilds your nervous system, if possible, and dissolves kidney stones. Easy way to remember it is IP6 is better than IP rocks. Okay? Much better. So, I don't know. Last part of the question was B17. Many fruits have B17. Grasses have B17. You ever see a dog or cat get sick and go out and eat grass?
Oh, yeah. We've got a dog over at the house the other day. She was roaming around just eating that stuff.
Yeah. And they never get cancer. Animals on the wild never get cancer. Or very rarely. Interesting. We'll be back, folks, after the break and take your questions at Dr. Dino Live. Oh, good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager.
Yeah, it's Friday, March 10th of 06.
Friday. And I leave tomorrow for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Come back Monday afternoon. Won't miss a program.
In about 15 more days, we're going to Bakersfield, California.
Yep. And before that, I go to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
It's a busy month.
You're a busy guy.
Been a busy life. Yep. Traveler. Delta likes me, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I believe I got 4.8 million sky miles now.
Wow.
Something like that. It's a lot. A lot. Anyway, you can call us on the program here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And who's on the phone there, Robert?
We've got Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan, what's up, brother?
Hey, bud.
Yes, sir.
You got a lot of frequent flyer miles there, huh?
I use them for missionaries to fly them around, and I use them for my staff to go with me on trips. And, yep, Delta likes, I'm trying to keep Delta in business, but they're not doing too well, okay?
They're not? They got some of those strikes or something like that going on?
Well, you know, they declared bankruptcy and...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember. I was flying at the time that happened, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, no, we're not going to be able to get anywhere. No. But, yeah, they keep on flying, I guess.
Hey, so where's these atheist friends that call into your Pal Talk? They're not calling into my program.
Well, one was just here and he left.
Oh,
he had said that, you know, he got... I would like to know what are some of the evidence there that you people with your delusion think. And so we were like, well, great. Could you be a little specific about that? And he said, well, fossils. And I said, great. What fossils? He said, well, the geologic fossils. What about those? It's just a fact.
I agree. Fossils exist.
So, yes. I said, yes. And, you know, I could say the same things that you're saying that proves or disproves evolution. So could you be a little more specific, please, sir? And he was like, well, I'll just leave you guys to your delusion, so bye. I don't know. You guys
don't confuse him with the facts. He doesn't want to know.
Yeah, that's a nice saying that I like using. I've already made up my mind. Don't confuse me with the facts.
Yeah.
When you corner them, they just kind of run away. You're just idiots. Bye.
Right, and then they don't let you answer either. Just slap and run. Right.
I know. We were going to call in, though. I was saying, well, great. Tell me, what are some of your questions here? So they started rattling them off, and they said, well, I have a just blah, bye.
Uh-huh.
There was something here I wanted. I noticed you had asked, somebody had asked about the possession and Satanism. I would have to adamantly say, yes, it does still happen, and yes, I have known people who, that and my wife, when she was in the ministry, did some very supernatural things, very out of the ordinary. You know, like the story tells of Legion. They couldn't restrain him. He would break chains and stuff like that. Do you remember that in the Bible?
Well, I remember. I've had a couple of people over the years tell me they thought their mother-in-law was a demon. Now, I don't know what they meant by that.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess that could be
that. We don't want to discourage Robert here. He's not married, okay? And he doesn't understand yet that along with the wife, you also get a mother-in-law. It's part of the package, okay?
Right. You know, you got stipulations about give and take.
I know.
She's got to bring her mother into the deal.
Yeah,
you know?
Correct. Right.
Right.
Now, my wife had a great mother-in-law.
My wife didn't. She was terrible.
Okay.
She was one of those mothers that it's not where you, I guess this would get into a little bit of her family history, but it's one of those mothers that when you're a baby, she tells you stories as a little girl of how she was going to abort you with a coat hanger, and she never wanted you. So, yeah, that's the kind of background she came from. And then as she grows up and she finds out her daughter can be very useful, it's like now she's her best friend. So one of those terrible mothers that, yes, we are well aware of people
yes.
like that. Yeah.
That'd make you feel real good all your life, right? I was going to abort you, but now that you're here, you're a nuisance, yeah.
Yep, some of those great mothers, little mother-daughter talks, you know. Yeah. You know, I just want to let you know that this is what I was going to do to you before you were born, you know. And so that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there are people like that out there. A lot of people can't really fathom parents that are like that, and it's too bad that some of them are.
But, you know, in one sense, a lot of people in the Bible had real lousy parents. I mean, real lousy, and they turned out great. Absolutely great. They just said, look, I don't care what my parents did. I'm going to serve God, period, you know. And then there's folks that had great parents that turned out lousy. So.
Yeah, that's a lot of the stories. That was her story as well. So you got to watch out for those mother-in-laws, but they're not always that bad. If you watch Everybody Loves Raymond, that's a nice little show that's got a very meddling mother-in-law. But
I've only seen a few minutes of that show. Is it worth watching?
Yes, it is very worth watching. It's funny. It's clean. If you're familiar with the Northeastern families or the doting mothers who get involved, it's a very hilarious show. I only started watching it once it went into syndication. I didn't actually watch it while it was on the air, but it's very cute.
Okay.
It's an adorable show. I did have something to contribute here, but
sure.
Besides that, I mentioned the Legion there, mm-hmm. that there are some very, very modern day stories similar to that when you remember that in the Bible when they try to restrain the guy and he broke all the chains.
Oh yeah, right.
Well, there are some very, very similar stories, and I know about mental illnesses, and I know about people thinking they're hearing things, but then again, there are the people who go into places in the woods in the middle of the night and stand in little pentagrams, and they say their chants and their little mantras and do whatever, and then, you know, they come out very, very strange people, and we've had some experiences with that where they just do things that defy logic and defy matter, and it's too bad. You can only handle that kind of stuff. It's a great witnessing tool, but unfortunately, they don't let it out a lot because they know, this is what I've heard from them, they know that if they reveal themselves and if they show themselves in public and say, watch this, watch me punch a hole through a brick wall, watch me throw this car a few feet into the air, you know, or watch me make my fingers grow much longer and have claws shoot out of the end of them, if they reveal that kind of stuff, and these are all things I've seen or my wife has seen privately, that all of a sudden the atheists and the non-believers would realize, wow, maybe there is something else out there that we don't know about. Gosh, what do we do to protect ourselves? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. You see, Jesus, watch this.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, watch that. Put an end to that right there. And that's why they don't do it, because they're very secretive. They work in the dark. They work in the shadows. That's where the prince of darkness, I guess, lurks. So that's what I've heard from them as far as why, you know, when asking them, why don't you people do this? Why? How come you're not out there just killing people and doing all kinds of stuff? Well, because we don't want people to find out about this, because if they do, then they have to find out what to do about it. And we just like tricking them and keeping them in the dark.
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
That's why reasonable. They do that. That's what I've been told from some of them. But I remember a few days ago I left the show on the note of some legal stuff. I remember when just as you were closing off.
Right.
I was wondering, this is not just what I just told you, but this is also could be for some of your listeners.
let me pull it up here. Some very interesting facts about our American history. I'm sure you may be already aware of it. Maybe it's something may be familiar to you. Have you ever read the Mayflower Compact?
Oh, as a kid, we read some of it in, you know, like 7th or 8th grade. You may have read the whole thing. I had some really good old-fashioned conservative teachers at a small, not too small, country school, East Peoria, Illinois. And, boy, this was back in the 60s, and I had some teachers that we actually read the whole Constitution and studied it.
Yeah, those were the good old days.
And we read the original 13th Amendment. We read the original Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Not the new one where the 13th Amendment had been changed, you know. That's another long, interesting mm-hmm. story.
I've heard about that. I don't quite remember the
original. Well, it said no titles of nobility. That would exclude every senator we've got in there, because you can't be a lawyer
mm-hmm.
and be a congressman.
They were very suspicious in the olden times of anybody who signed their name Esquire.
Right.
Because that indicated they might be a spy. They might be working for England. They might be under their legal system, just trying to subvert the newly created United States.
Yeah, and the Constitution we have now, you got to read very carefully. This is not the original Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another story. Go ahead.
Yeah. With the Mayflower Compact, we know that it was written in 1620, which is about 150 years before the Declaration of Independence and before the Constitution and all that. So people want to say, people want to tell you, you know, America was founded on people who believed in God, but it was this kind of generic higher being deity. Or there was this, you know, this generic, they were Freemasons. They believed in some kind of higher being. This was what America was founded on. But if you actually go back farther than that, that's got some disputes about it. Some people say these were very Christian men. They believed in this. They believed in that. They were not just Freemasons. I don't know. It could be either way. But for those who want to dispute that and say, well, go back a little bit farther than that. Go back to 1620 with the Mayflower Compact, written by the Pilgrims, who were coming over to escape the King of England, King James, I believe, who's still in reigning there. And if you read it, they signed it on their boat. It had witnesses. It had their captain as well there on it. And it says, it reads as following here. It just starts off. It reeks Christianity all over it.
Oh, yeah, very much.
It even says Christianity in it. It starts out, first of all, in the name of God, amen. I mean, that's a political document right there. In the name of God, amen. Mm-hmm. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of England, France, Ireland, King, defender of the faith, and having undertaken, now get this, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another, covenant and combine ourselves into a civil body politic, which is them saying that they're going to be a little local government. This was the first foundation when they planted it there at Plymouth Rock and later created Jamestown, which had its own independent governor. So if you go by this was actually the first, history books will tell you this in spite of how much they want to be against it, this was actually the first, the first document of self-governing document written in America, for Americans. It came long before the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. And it espouses Christianity all over. It even says, for the advancement of Christianity, this is what our nation was actually founded on.
Yeah, it was not just a religious nation, a Christian nation.
Exactly. And I met Judge Roy Moore about 6-7 years ago. I actually got to meet the man, shook his hand, talked with him a little bit, because you know who Roy Moore is.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the judge in Alabama who got the ACLU all over him. That lasted about 7 years for the Ten Commandments. And I like what you said there. What do we base on what's right and wrong? Just put up signs that say, don't steal, don't kill, don't cheat, don't lie, and eventually you'll have the Ten Commandments all over again.
Exactly right.
Yeah, what do we base on right? Well, okay, put up some signs. Oops, wait a second, that's the Ten Commandments. But yes, I met the man, and he was the one who first introduced that little fact to me, that this is what the America was actually founded on. These people were not Buddhists. They were not Muslims. They were not Hindus. They did not come here to just worship some generic god. And I said, I was thinking, you know, Roy Moore, you're full of crap. You're full of malarkey. Let me go home and research this. And I went home and researched it and found out I was the one full of malarkey. Because I thought it was, you know, they were just coming here to worship a generic god. But no, it's right there. Hey, wow, Christianity. All
exactly
over
right.
it.
So it's pretty interesting. That was one of the things I found out I was wrong about. And that, ever since then, it's too bad what happened to that judge. But
not too bad what happened to America. Have you been to wallbuilders.com?
No, I haven't.
David Barton's website, wallbuilders.com, is loaded with exactly that type of info.
Really?
From all of American history. It's a Christian nation, clear up until, in the 1800s, there were Supreme Court cases that said very clearly, we are a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
The South Carolina Constitution, in fact, I think all of the constitutions of every one of the states refers to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on wallbuilders.com. Just check that fascinating website.
Really? And they'll just say, oh, well, it's a generic deity. It's a higher power. Well, go back a little farther in history. Go back farther than that to the Magna Carta. Remember mm-hmm. that? Or English common law, which was under the king, which was also under the church.
Right.
So that's some interesting stuff. I noticed you also mentioned IP6, which I know a little bit about. It's inositol hexaphosphate. That it's also been known, and I can't really say anything, but the proponents of it, the people who advocate it, will tell you that it also causes apoptosis in cancer cells. I don't know if you've heard anything about that on the IP6.
No.
Well, cellular apoptosis is when the cell itself self-destructs. Maybe you know what it is. Maybe some of your listeners don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the apoptosis, the inositol hexaphosphate has been known, and I've read this on quite a few pill bottles of some people that, you know, they're getting away with saying it treats cancer for the time being, at least. Nobody's...
Somebody will arrest them.
Yeah, they haven't quite attracted enough attention, but there are some sites, some people out there who will say it is for cancer, and this has been proven by causing apoptosis in the cancer cells where they just can't manufacture any more energy and they self-destruct. So that's a little other thing about the IP6. Maybe you'd like to take with you somewhere in
sure.
life.
Sounds great.
But anyway, that's about it there.
All right.
Just want to share a little bit more of that stuff there with you.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, get some of these atheists to call in. We love it when they call.
I know. I've gotten a few. You've talked to a few of them. You know, you talked to Carl. You talked to Larry. You talked to
yeah.
Nate. You talked to...
I know. They
every now and then they do manage to muster up the intestinal fortitude to call in.
Do you think we're making any progress with them? Or?
Well, the room is here on Pal Talk every day, and they really, really don't like it. They look at it, they see it on the room list, they see it big up in big letters, evolution should be removed from schools. I've got your name, you know, in the banner and in the introduction message.
I don't know if I'd say it like that. I'd say lies should be removed from schools.
Well, yeah, otherwise they're just going to wonder, lies, what is this? But if they see the word evolution, because they've got, you know, 15 other chat rooms saying God is a myth, Jesus is a hoax, we get out of your religion. So I figured, well, if they can talk about that in a social issues category on Pal Talk, well, I can make a room like this and put your radio show into it.
Sure.
So that's what I do it for, just to attract their attention. And they really don't like it. Sometimes I'll be the only person in here, and they'll come just to leave a nasty message and then walk out. And sometimes, like I said, we've gotten about like 17 people in the room at one time, most of them throwing rapid-fire questions. And I say, just call in. He's a nice guy. He won't hang up on you.
Yeah, no. Glad to talk to him.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks
brother.
A lot.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks, if you want to join us on the program, Robert, hang up the phone over there. Okay. 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466. You can join us on our one lonely phone line, or you can email us all day long, or instant message us all day long, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Or, let's see, how else can you get a hold of us?
Just go to the website and go to send an instant message.
Yeah, there you go, and we'll get it. Okay, here we go from Focused on God. Okay, got a question for you. It's a little off the wall, but counsel has always been official. I have two sisters that just had little girls. One sister, it's her second child out of marriage. And my 17-year-old sister, also out of marriage. How should I respond to this situation? Well, do not in any way make the child feel responsible. They are totally not responsible for what happened. Love them, accept them, encourage them. Be the best uncle any kid ever had, okay? Do not constantly condemn the sisters. I mean, you know, especially if they're not saved, they don't know. I mean, get them saved. Focus on the real problem, which is their heart. We'll be back, folks, in 2 minutes, and join us on the other side. Welcome back, folks, to the final segment of today's Creation Science Hour and a Half. Where are we at? March 10th. I remembered it.
You got it.
It doesn't matter after a while. And we're the right-wing radicals who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. There has never been a dumber idea than to teach all the kids they all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. Think about how dumb that is. I mean, Satan has got to be laughing at these folks for believing such a thing.
Yeah, they'll laugh at us and say, well, where did Cain get his wife from?
Yeah, and you're...
Come on, look what you believe.
You all came from a rock? I mean, think. Would you just think about it? I mean, come on. Okay. You can instant message us here, Dr. Dino Live, or you can call us. Our one lonely phone line is open. And Pavel said we can get a second line if somebody's willing to give theirs up. Now, what that might mean is my normal extension, which I use all day long, but I never use during the radio program. Yeah, we do. We call out on it, don't we? That's my extension we call out on, so that won't work. I don't know.
No, I've got five new messages, meaning five callers called in and just hung up.
The phone system can handle, I don't know, we paid like $8,000 for that phone system, and I think it's expandable forever, but I think it means another something, a bunch of money, basically.
Yeah, always money.
Yeah, throw a bunch of money in there and it'll fix it. So we could get more lines, anyway. But we may do that if my brother straightens up. But he's a hunchback, okay, so it might be a while, right? Okay, here we have one focused on God. Oh, by the way, you can call us 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay, focused on God. It says, I got two sisters, just had little girls, both of them out of marriage. 17-year-old and another sister that's her second child out of marriage. Okay, and how do you respond to the situation? Love them, okay? Just, you be the best brother any sister ever had. And just love them.
My sister, she's got a boy right now that's about 3 years old. And obviously about 3 years ago, same thing happened with her. And guy was a complete jerk. She got mixed up with the wrong crowd, had a little kid, and loved him to death.
Yep. Be a good uncle.
Yep.
That's all you can do. Let them grow up knowing somebody cares about them.
Yes.
I mean, if you really go through history, you probably could find most of the people on the planet probably shouldn't be here. I mean, if you really get desperate and start looking. Half the Bible is written by people. I mean, look at Timothy. His mother was Jew. His father was Greek. Jews aren't supposed to marry Greeks. Timothy's mom disobeyed. And Timothy's a result. And God used Timothy in a great way. Rahab, the harlot, prostitute.
That's right.
She ended up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, okay? God will use anybody. I mean, come on. I think it's wrong, obviously. It's going to really create hardship for these little girls if they grow up without their natural physical dad. It's going to create real problems. So you had better step in and be the ultimate uncle, because they're going to need somebody they can go to and love and trust and teach. You know, girls are supposed to learn from their dad, you know, how to be the right kind of daughter and then eventually the right kind of wife, you know.
Amen, that's right.
They should watch how their dad treats their mom and say, wow, that's the kind of man I want. I remember we had a secretary working here for us some time ago, and she had a brother who expressed some interest in my daughter. And my daughter was the last one getting married out of the house, and so I talked to her intently. I said, oh, tell me about this brother of yours, you know. She said she was the older sister, and she said, well, this is my younger brother. I've known him since he was zero. Okay? She said, Mr. Hovind, I'll tell you right now, that's the kind of man I'm looking for.
Is this Paul Jewell?
This is Paul Jewell. I mean, when a sister says that about her brother, you know, man, that's the right one. Okay? So when he called and said, hey, can I date your daughter? I said, yeah, let me show you my gun collection first, you know, and let me show you what a good shot I am. And let me show you the last two guys that tried to touch my daughter, you know.
I heard you could light a match with a .22. Is that true?
Yep. Yes, sir. I don't know if I still can. It used to be a phenomenal shot. I'm still awful good. We used to go to Arkansas. Grandma had 40 acres up there, and we'd shoot all the time. We'd, you know, just bang up the woods, you know. But my daughter is an incredible shot. I mean, she's phenomenal, you know. We believe in gun control. Hold it steady, hit the target, you know. That's gun control. So, but then I said, you know, after they got serious and he said, can I marry her? I said, you know, please do. Take over payments on this girl, would you please? I need somebody to take over payments. It's breaking the bank. And that's Paul. They've been married, what, 6 years, 5 years now? And It was their wedding that was played on America's Funniest Home Videos 18 times. They played that now. And never got any money for it. So if you know anybody in America's Funniest Home Videos, say, look, the guy's really, really bad sick, okay, and could use some money, like big-time serious money. So send him some. Tell America's Funniest Home Videos to play it one more time, and this time vote him in. Yeah. Give him $100,000. Okay, so anyway, yeah, respond to your sister. Probably, see, we tend to look at our sins and say, well, they're not as big as somebody else's sins. Hey, you ever been asked this question, Robert? What is the worst sin in the world? Absolute worst sin in the world.
Not love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
With all your heart.
I heard a preacher preach that sermon one time. Just blew me away. He went through and named all kinds of sins, you know, murder and adultery and fornication and rape and, you know, treason and, you know.
Each one of those is a symptom of...
He said the worst sin in the world would be to break the greatest commandment.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first and greatest commandment?
Love the Lord your
God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you doing that? Okay, then you're breaking the first commandment. That's the greatest sin. All this other stuff is secondary.
Wow.
So, focused on God, I hope your name really means something there. I would say you got a real situation there with two nieces, and you better stay focused on God and teach them to do the same. They should look at you and say, that's the most godly man I've ever seen, or whatever you are. I'm assuming you're a man here from the question. Maybe you're a woman. But they should look at you and say, that's the most godly person I've ever seen. I want to be like that. Or I want to find a husband like that someday. When I was in high school, I became a Christian at age 16, my sophomore year in high school. And one of my buddies there in school, Tim, he was a good Christian. He tried to win me to the Lord. Well, Tim and I started, he discipled me basically, you know. Let's go read the Bible together and let's go pray together and stuff like that. That was the days in the mid, early 70s, 70, 69, 70, when miniskirts were the real big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically a wide belt is what it is. I wouldn't call it a skirt. And so we got this three-story building in our high school, 2,000 students, and half the girls wearing these miniskirts, and we're walking up the stairs to our next class. We'd reach over and cover each other's eyes, okay, is what we would do, and we'd quote Matthew 5:28, okay? Matthew 5:28. So that's the way we went through high school, tripping up the stairs. But Tim and I spent a lot of time dating other girls. We called it missionary dating. Now, I don't know that it's wise. We didn't know, and nobody told us, okay? But we really wanted these girls to see, hey, there are some Christian guys in the world that are decent, you know? So we had a contest. Who can date the most girls going through high school?
And who won?
Oh, I whooped him bad. He got to 178 and found the one he wanted and said, this is the one I want, okay?
Are you kidding me?
But the other 177... Though they didn't marry Tim, they knew, hey, there are some Christian guys in the world. And it gives them that hope of, you know, I'm gonna just wait for the right one. Okay? I got to 300 before I found the one I got.
Hmm.
And now, almost 33 years later, I got the right one.
Amen.
She gets the medal again this year for putting up with me. Usually, she's gotten it every year, I believe. Okay? The problem is on my end. If there are problems, I'm causing them. Okay? So, anyway, point is, you need to be the ideal. These kids need to look up to you as their hero. Be real careful what you do, because they're going to think whatever you say or do is right. Be not many masters, that's teachers, James says in James chapter 2, 3. Yeah. For we shall receive the greater condemnation. Just, you set the right example. And if they trip and stumble and fall, and they will, you be there and say, look, I'm your buddy no matter what. You blew it.
That's what brothers are for.
Come on back. All right. Hope that helps. That's what you need to do. Okay. Let's see. We have... There. Question about Lucy. Jermaine writes in. Hello, I'm an economic student. Oh, we did that one. Lucy. Okay. He also emailed us. Emailed us and instant messaged us. Oh, no. Jermaine. That's going to confuse me, okay? Because all this electronic stuff. I was born just a little too late. I don't know that I can handle getting it from two sides. Okay. I mentioned Lucy. The other book you might want to get is called, let me get to it here, Buried Alive by Jack Cuozzo. Oh, man, is that good. Did you meet Jack Cuozzo? You weren't here for boot camp, were you?
No, I wasn't.
You ought to get to watch the DVDs. Mm. They're in the, you can get them in the library. I think they're right up here in our library here. We had a boot camp last year, creation boot camp, we called it. We're going to have another one next year. Okay. We didn't get to this year. We can't find a building. A lot of the auditoriums in Pensacola are still under construction from the hurricane. Reconstruction, okay? But anyway, we'll get a building, and we'll get a boot camp for next year. But we had some speakers come in to speak. One was Jack Cuazzo. He's been a dentist for 32 years in New Jersey, and he wrote the book Buried Alive. He went to Europe with an X-ray machine and X-rayed and studied the actual Neanderthals. Not the copies they have over here, not the reproductions, the actual bones. They let him use them, handle them, X-ray them, analyze them, measure them. And he says, folks, these Neanderthals are perfectly normal humans who are deformed from diseases. They're not missing links. So get the book Buried Alive if you want a bunch more on that topic. Okay. Next message. Jesse Gigi. Greetings, Dr. Hovind. While I do believe that many evil people in powerful positions do evil things, I have so far been unable to find any coherent facts to support the theory of chemtrails. I agree that it's entirely possible that jets might spray out chemicals. I also agree that scores of people talk about and write about chemtrails and post photos of the sky. Is that the end of the question?
No, I'm trying to get through.
Oh, you're trying to get it through. Okay. Comes to you a piece at a time. Man, we are caught up. There you go. But so far, I found nobody even claiming to have sent a probe up and sampled the chemtrail or captured the toxins when they settled down, nor have I seen anyone ever claiming to have performed a chemical analysis. Ooh, you need to go study this a little more. This has been done. Okay. The only thing they provide as evidence are the photos and people getting sick. Incidentally, people do get sick. That doesn't prove anything. And my limited understanding of the physics involving air, clouds, and contrails. Continuation. Okay. And my limited understanding of the physics involving air, I see in the sky and everything the pictures of chemtrails show is exactly what I would expect to see without any help from chemtrails. Basically, I cannot find any reason to even suggest a thinking mind that chemtrails, to a thinking mind, that chemtrails is anything more than an incorrect conspiracy theory. Moreover, people are selling special balls of epoxy and metal clips which are said to clear the sky if you mount them in your backyard. Clearly a hoax to get money from people who believe in chemtrails. Okay, now I don't know. I've never heard of the balls and the metal clips in the backyard. Now that I've never heard of. It may be true. So, I have on my videotape number 7 quite a few pictures of the chemtrails, and they are not contrails coming out of the engine. They're just not, okay? Let's see. That would be on video number 1. Lower the human population. Nathan, have you seen anything on chemtrails? Have you studied that at all? Just what you heard in my seminar. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Let's get to the right one if we got time in the 30 seconds we got left. There are lots of evil people like Pinky and the Brain out there trying to destroy the world and, you know, rule the world. That's a no-brainer. There's always been people, you know, Napoleons and Hitlers and Stalins who want to rule the world. Not a question. The question is, you know, what do we do about it? Well, today there are some really evil people, really powerful people who want to control the planet. Chemtrails911.com has quite a few stuff on that. Those are not jet contrails. Let's see. Oh, hang on. I thought I had...
Now, how can you see the difference? Oh, I guess...
I've got a bunch of pictures. I opened the wrong program. It's part 7. We'll be back Monday, folks, and we'll take it up with chemtrails. But go to Google and type in chemtrails and check for yourself. There's a lot of stuff there. All right. See you Monday. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.